State. Thank all of y'all for coming. The one of the things that we get in a debate as opposed to sermons, and I'm definitely for sermons too, but you get to hear both sides of the issue here by people who believe it. And Greg and I have discussed this issue publicly before, and we treat each other, and I think we'll do it again, with respect. This is not a personal thing of animosity or a competition like a football game. I like football and hope Alabama wins all the time. But this is not a football game. It's not much more important, and we're not trying to win a competition. We're trying to look at God's Word. We understand it to be the truth and trying to find out what the truth is, because John 8:32 says only the truth will set you free. So I appreciate you coming and just listen to both sides. And we all know that God is right. So whoever is proving their position by the Bible, please accept it, because our eternal destinies depend upon it. Thank you for coming. Oh, by the way, within hopefully 5 or 6 days after the debate, I'll have the audio up on this website right here, and you can download it, the MP3, for free, or you can look at my chart that I'm going to display tonight. Just go to that website. All of that's for free. Okay, Papa. Tonight's debate is on homosexual marriage. And, of course, we got lucky, and Mr. Obama has created much more interest in this discussion because of his comments on May the 9th. But Greg and I have been planning this for a few months, so I would just say the timing's lucky. But the discussion is on homosexual marriage. Is homosexual marriage scriptural? And I want to start, therefore, because of that, with Matthew 19:4-5. Now, Jesus is speaking here, but he's actually quoting from Genesis 2:24, if I'm correct. He says, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." We all agree here he's talking about marriage, right? The institution of marriage with Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2. And notice what he said. From the beginning, God made them male and female. For this cause a man shall leave his parents and cleave to his wife. You notice that the two partners of this marriage, as God set it up, are male and female. Not male and male, not female and female. Now, I think this passage right here shows us what God's will is on the matter that is under in dispute tonight. Now, also, 1 Corinthians 7:2 would say about the same thing. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own husband, no wife. Let every woman have her own husband. Now, this expression at the end is a cutesy statement, but I think it states the truth. When God made, in the beginning, humans, he made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I'm sure we've all heard of that. Now, the next chart I'm going to pull up, the next two, as a matter of fact, if I can get my computer to work. Can be disturbing. Okay? But remember, my job up here is to tell you the truth, what the Bible has to say. And I plead with you, dude, if you find your life is not in conformity with the Bible, change. Don't get mad at me. This can be hard. These next two charts can be hard. But I want you to understand that I'm doing it out of love, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. First of all, I want to establish, we're in agreement that the Old Testament is no longer binding today, but I still want to go to the Old Testament to establish that homosexuality was wrong even in the Old Testament. Then I'll go to the New and show that it's wrong according to that. But Leviticus 18:22, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." So back then, if a man were to lie sexually with another man, it was called an abomination. Leviticus 20:13, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." So as you see, homosexuality was called abomination in the Old Testament. Now here's where it's going to get kind of hard, but bear with me please. Because remember, this is God, this is Bible speaking, it's not me speaking. I suggest to you that if you look at these passages in their context in the book of Leviticus, the ones we just read, I suggest to you that homosexuality is put in the same category as bestiality. Or to help you know what that is, I'm going to mispronounce it, bestiality, okay? That helps you understand what it's talking about. Now we're talking about homosexual marriage tonight, and I've shown you a passage in Matthew 19 that shows that homosexual marriage is not right. Now, these are passages that are going to show that homosexuality itself is wrong. And so by default, if homosexuality, the practice that is wrong, then a homosexual marriage is wrong. Because this is what goes on in a homosexual marriage. So let's go back to Leviticus 18:22, which I just read. It says, thou shalt not lie with mankind. As with womankind, it is abomination. Now notice the very next verse. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Now I hope that grosses you out, what that's condemning. But do you realize that was said practically in the same breath as the condemnation of homosexuality? A man should not lie with a man, neither should he lie with a beast. Neither should a woman lie down with a beast. Intending to have relations is what it's talking about. Notice also the same thing really happens in Leviticus 20:13. On the left, if you can read that, is the verse that I read a while ago. If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, in verses 15 and 16, that's that one verse between verse 13 and verse 15 and 16, it says, and if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and he shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Do you see why I'm saying that homosexuality is put in the same category as bestiality or bestiality? This demonstrates that Greg's position is absurd, that homosexuality is right, unless you also think that bestiality is okay also. Unless you think it's okay for a man or a woman to have sexual relations with an animal, then this shows that Greg's position that homosexuality is okay is absurd. Now, do you see why I said this is going to be hard? That passage is hard because it compares homosexuality to bestiality. But that, I don't necessarily enjoy saying that. I don't enjoy saying it all, but I'm doing it because I have your best interest at heart. So I think it'd be good to stop for a moment and to tell you why I came here tonight. Because I want you to know the reason I came here tonight is not to put you down and to say something ugly about your practice just because I'm homophobic, as some say. No, these passages are in the Bible, and the reason I'm telling you this is because I love you. I'm here because I love you, and I want the best for you. I'm here because I have an open mind on this issue, just as I do with all other issues. I'm listening to your side of this debate. When Greg's speaking, I'll be listening to him just as closely as I hope you guys will listen to me. I'm here because I want to have, and I want you to have, a proper relationship with God. I'm here to study with you about what the Bible really has to say about this subject. I'm here because I want to be saved, and I want you to be saved too. I'm here to ask you to encourage you to repent of this sin. I'll make no bones about that, and I won't apologize for it. I just want you to know I'm doing it because I love you, and I want you to go to heaven. Because you can't go to heaven if you're practicing this sin. Yes, if you repent and change, you can go to heaven. There's only one unpardonable sin, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Every other sin you can repent of, change, and you go to heaven. That's why I'm here. Because I believe you need to change so you can go to heaven. And if my mother had cancer, and the doctor said, here's a pill she could take and be cured right away, and she was hesitant about it. Maybe she was a Luddite, like my mother-in-law. She didn't want to take it. I would basically beg my mother to take that pill to be cured of cancer. That's what I'm doing with you. I'm begging you to take the pill, the gospel, what it says about homosexuality that's wrong, so you can be saved. Now I ask you before I leave this chart, please do not shoot the messenger. There's no reason to be mad at me. I didn't write those verses in Leviticus and the other verses I'm about to bring up. Don't shoot the messenger. Paul said in Galatians 4, verse 16, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? When somebody tells you the truth, don't let them become your enemy because of that. That doesn't change what God said to get mad at me. Do you follow what I'm saying? As I said, we look at what the practice in the Old Testament. Let's look at it in the New. Let's read Romans 1, 24, then we'll skip 25 and read 26 and 27. It says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, they're doing something that's wrong. They're dishonoring their bodies between themselves. So far, it doesn't tell you how. Verse 26 and 27 will tell you how. By the way, Papa, can you read that chart? Okay. It says, for this cause God gave them up to do vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. That's talking about what we call lesbianism. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which is meet. So we have in verse 26 talking about lesbians. Verse 27 is talking about gay men, as we call it. Now, I have picked out some terms there in those passages that I put in red to highlight, and I put them down here on this chart in the middle part. Do the terms used to refer to homosexuality here show approval or disapproval? Here are the terms that we see in red. Uncleanness, dishonor, vow, changing the natural use, against nature, leaving the natural use, unseemly, error. I suggest to you that it's clear that this practice that's under consideration here is strongly condemned. Now, also, before I leave this chart, notice that homosexuality here is condemned along with fornication, wickedness, murder, deceit, be lying, haters of God. They're all in the same category, in the same list, verse 29 through 31. Now, will Greg also deny that these are sins? If he tries to deny the homosexuality here in this context is not wrong, then the reasonable thing, the logical conclusion of that argument, Greg, would be that fornication and wickedness, murder, deceit, and haters of God is not wrong also, because it's condemned here in the same context. Next, let's look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. And I suppose most of you have newer translations, because the newer translations help you out to see this a little better. Back in the old days, in 1611, when the King James was translated, the word homosexual was not coined in the English language at that time. But that didn't mean there wasn't a word in the Greek for homosexual. There was, and that's what's in these passages. Let's read it. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. These are people that are not going to be saved. Nor homosexuals. This is the New King James Version. Nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's basically saying, if you commit these sins, you're not going to heaven. You're not going to be saved. Again, let me say that if you repent of these sins, you can be saved. But this is talking about people who continue to practice these sins and don't repent. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, in my King James Version, I got this out of the footnote. They have a one by the word homosexual. He defines that as catamites, those submitting to homosexuals. And then the second word, sodomite, male homosexuals. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 condemns homosexual relations. Now, I guess I can bring this up now. I'm not sure where the best time to bring it up is, but most of you know that in a homosexual relationship, one takes more of the active role, sort of the male role, even if they're not male. Another takes the passive role. There are two types of homosexuals. Greg, you correct me if I'm wrong. This first word is talking about, in the King James it says, it uses the word effeminate. It's talking about the one who takes the passive role. Okay? I don't want to be too explicit here, but I think you know what I mean. The last one, the word sodomite, is the one who takes more of the male role, the active role. This passage is condemning both types. It condemns homosexual relations. There's no doubt about it. Let me show you the Greek word here that we see in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. The first one is, don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Tommy, are you here? Tommy Thrasher? If he was here, do you know how to pronounce that? Ronnie?
Malakoi.
That sounds good enough to me. This is that first word that was translated homosexual in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 10. It says, Paul condemned those described as Malakoi, or homosexuals in the New King James Version, or effeminate in the Old King James in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Here's what John Stott said about that in his book, Homosexual Marriage, 1985. It meant males, not necessarily boys, who played the passive role in homosexual intercourse. There it is. This word is defined by Art Gingrich. And by the way, this lexicon, according to Wikipedia, is among the most highly respected dictionaries of biblical Greek. He defines this word as effeminate, especially of catamites, men and boys who allow themselves to be misused homosexually. Thayer defines this as effeminate of a catamite, a male who submits his body to unnatural lewdness. Strong, a catamite, effeminate, or soft. Wigram Green, effeminate, specifically as of homosexual males. So 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 condemns gay relations, and at this point we're talking about the Greek word that condemns the passive or effeminate role. Now let's talk about the second word in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. The Greek word is arsenokaiate. I can't pronounce that either. Paul condemned those described as arsenokaiate in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 as homosexuals, abusers of themselves with mankind. That's the New American Standard, the King James. 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, and we'll talk about that in a moment. John R. Stott, Homosexual Marriage, 1985, wrote, the Greeks used this expression to describe the one who took the active role. You see what I'm talking about? This word is defined as, and by the way, it's Strong's number 733, Thayer, one who lies as a male is with a female, a sodomite. Art Gingrich, a male homosexual. Pederast, sodomite. Strong, a sodomite. Wigram Green, male homosexual, a sodomite. So these scholars, they're the ones that know the Greek, not me. They define the words here as homosexual, sodomite. You see what I'm saying? It is translated by the New American Standard Version is homosexuals. New King James, sodomites. You can read the list. Homosexuals, homosexuals, sodomites, partakers in homosexuality, those who participate in homosexuality, homosexualists, men who practice sodomy. It's clear what these words mean. These things are condemned in the Bible, and that's what these words mean. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 1, let me read verses 9 and 10. It says, "We also know this, the law was not made for a good man, but for people who are lawless, rebels, ungodly, sinners, unholy, not religious, father killers, mother killers, murderers." It's not talking about faithful Christians here, is it? "Sexual sinners, homosexuals," this is a simple English New Testament, "slave traders," and by the way, the New Testament does condemn the kind of slavery we had in America back in 200, 300 years ago, "liars and those who break promises." These and other things are against the healthy teaching as found in the glorious gospel of the blessed God which he trusted to me. New American Standard translates this word homosexual. New King James Version, sodomite. The Living Bible, homosexual. So 1 Corinthians, this is, by the way, is that arsenokleia word, the Greek word here. That's the one who takes the active role or the male role in the homosexual relation. 1 Timothy 1 verse 10 condemns homosexual activity. Papa, how much time do I have left? He got a PhD in mathematics. Thank you. Next, let's look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. We looked at verse 9. Verse 9, a while ago, told us that both types of homosexuals, the active and the passive, are wrong. But I want you to look at verse 11. Referring to those who have been guilty of homosexuality and other sins, Paul said, "And such were some of you." Now, let's focus in on that word, "were." Did you notice it's past tense? It's past tense. "Such were some of you." That means these homosexuals have changed. Some people say they can't change because they're born that way. As I have in my notes here, here the word "were" being past tense proves these people were no longer homosexuals. They were homosexuals, but they aren't anymore. They had ceased their homosexual lifestyle when they repented. And that's what I'm asking you to do. So people can stop this sin, and people should stop this sin. Gay churches contend homosexuals can't help or cannot stop their practice because they are born that way. If that is so, if they can't help themselves, if they can't stop the practice because they are born that way, then this proves they're not born that way because it shows that these people have stopped. If the fact that you're born that way proves you can't stop it, then when you see a verse that says these people had stopped it, such were some of you, then that would prove that they weren't born that way. You see that? Another passage, Romans 6, 26 and 27 of chapter 1, shows that also because it proves gays are not born gay as it calls a sin against nature. That means it's, according to the Bible, it's not genetic. When people practice this sin, it's against nature. Now, I have this friend that's a preacher, and he put it very crudely, but it hits the point directly what Romans 1 said. He says, the body parts don't fit. And that's right. It's not natural. Even if I didn't have the Bible, which I'm glad I do, but if I didn't have the Bible, I can know this is contrary to nature because the body parts don't fit. We can tell what is supposed to happen. The Bible says it's wrong, it's a sin, and it also says that it's against nature. Now, I asked you, because I love you, I asked you to be like these Corinthians and stop practicing homosexuality. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I love your soul, and I want to see you in heaven. You can avoid God's judgment for practicing homosexuality by repenting of quitting this sin. Others in our day, modern day, have quit it. They've done it. They've been able to quit. You can too. Now, I don't want to judge anybody's heart, but I want you to think about what's in your heart. You don't have to tell me. I want you to think about what's in your heart. Did your honest biblical interpretation on this issue lead your homosexual practice, or did your desire and practice lead to your interpretation? Everybody here knows what the Metropolitan Community Church is. All the tracts, all the testimonies I've read from the MCC Church that I've ever read, they indicate that they first had the desire to be a homosexual, and they struggled against it, perhaps as a member of a denomination that taught against it. Then suddenly, when they found the MCC Church, the gay church, and its teaching, they discovered the Bible approved of homosexuality all along. In other words, they already had this desire. They were struggling because the church, the Baptist or whatever church they were in, were teaching against it. Then all of a sudden they found the MCC church and their conscience was cleared and they were able to go ahead and practice. You see, that desire leading to interpretation. It should be the other way around. Instead, we should look at the Bible, see what it has to say on this and every other topic, and let that shape our desires and practices. It's just the opposite. 1 minute. Now, I'm kindly asking each individual here to examine your heart. Do you really believe the Bible actually condones such behavior? Or do you have an ulterior motive for believing such? Again, I'm asking you. Did you have this desire and you were looking for a way to practice it and soothe your conscience? Or did you really study the Bible and say, hey, the Bible says it's right? I kind of doubt the latter is true, but examine your own heart. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves, whether it be in the faith. Prove your own selves. We all have to examine our hearts. I do too. Exactly why do you believe homosexuality is right? Is it simply because you want it to be that way? In the last few seconds, let me exhort you. Stop the practice so you can go to heaven. And I say that because I love you, because I want you to go to heaven, not because I hate you. Do you understand? Please consider what the Bible has to say. God wrote it. It doesn't matter what I say. It's what the Bible has to say. Thank you very much.